bring the board so we can look at some things, and we keep trying to do a little bit of a different format. I was watching other people how they're doing their Zoom sessions during this time, and they're not all doing all their normal worship services that they would do, but they're doing different things, and so I'm trying to be as get as much out of this as I can. I want to go back today talking about right now. We've been talking in the last week or so about the rapture, and right now the Lord has me there, and it's an encouragement to me, and I'm hoping it'll be an encouragement to you, because what you don't want to do is you don't want the rapture to take place and you not get part of it.
Yeah, amen.
It isn't, I could say to you, like I was saying the other night, that if you don't get caught up in the rapture, that you're doomed. You do get one more chance after the rapture, but it's a very difficult thing to do. And I was telling the saints on Friday night, and we're going to Colossians today in the third chapter, and I was telling the saints Friday night, if you're having a difficult time being in Christ now, while there's no persecution, there's a lot of civil injustice, but there's literally no persecution toward us as far as going to church this morning. There's no one who's going to break into your church today and arrest everybody and haul everyone off like the Apostle Paul was doing to the early church for the cause of the Jews. They were actually going into the places where they were meeting and hauling them off and putting them in jail and killing some. And in the tribulation period, they're going to be doing that again. But right now, no one is doing that. And no one is saying to you it's illegal to read your Bible. And no one is saying to you it's illegal to say praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, although you can say, well, they took prayer out of school, they took Bibles out of school and did all those things. And that's true. But that doesn't stop it. That doesn't stop born again believers from worshiping God.
Yeah.
Saying that if your job says to you that you can't have a little sign on your wall saying God is good, don't fight over that. Carry it in your heart. Mm-hmm. And don't demand over your job. If they allow you to listen to your music or something like that, that's fine. But
yeah.
I remember a long time ago, Bishop Lee used to tell the people, you know, if you go on your job and they allow you to listen to a little gospel music or whatever, do that. But don't go on your job and have me preaching and, you know, trying to preach to everybody and try to sneak preach into that kind of thing. But the point I'm trying to make is right now we have relatively no persecution other than what the devil brings toward us. And he only persecutes us to a certain degree, because much of the things that we go through in this period of time, I know for me, more than probably all of you, but I know most of the time, the things that the devil gets in, there are very few things that the devil gets in my life that aren't there because I left the door open.
Yes.
They're there because I left the door open in one place or another, or I allowed that to happen. And so don't call every little thing that happens in your life when you, like the other day, I went to Lowe's and bought some lumber to fix the fence, and then me and my neighbor were looking at it, and I'm going to have to take it back because it's the wrong thing. That's not the devil. That's a mistake that I made.
Yeah.
And it's more to do, but that's not the devil. I got a nail in my tire. That's not the devil. It might be the devil, but I can fix that by simply looking at where I was driving and not driving there again.
Yeah.
And things, you know, and things like that. Or you get into an argument and you say, well, that's just the devil. Well, he might have gotten into it, but when you think about it, so don't dwell on it being him. Put on the whole armor of God and figure out how to keep him from being in there again.
Yeah.
You know, say to yourself, I'm not going to allow myself to really get carried away like that again. And I'm not going to allow this to get to this point anymore. Let the peace of God rule in you.
Yeah.
So beyond that, for the saints of God, no one stops us from coming to the house of God. This pandemic, we can say that's the devil. And that is slowing people down, because it's in the earth because of the sickness and disease came to the earth because of sin. And this pandemic is you can say that's the devil, because and it's because of sin. But it is God who has allowed it.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of great things coming out of it. I think we needed to put on the brakes were just going really, God has a time for the tribulation to begin. He has an absolute time for Jesus Christ to come and gather the church out of the earth. We were studying Friday night. The church, church being not this church, Promise Church, or this organization, CLGI, or any of that. The church being all those who belong to Christ. Christ's church.
Yes.
The church, all the born again, all the people who have been born again, who have been washed by the blood, who have believed on Christ's powerful death and resurrection to the point where they have repented of their sins and been redeemed. Those whose names are at this present time listed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not just the people who are knowledgeable about God, not just the people who have some semblance of religion, not that, but the people who are indeed saved as witnessed to by the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, such that the Holy Spirit is from time to time able to, maybe not nearly as much as he would like to, but at least from time to time, he is able to, from my spirit where he dwells, intuitively speak to me through my conscience and into my mind and say to me, you need to go this way, this would be good. Or he says to me, you need to stop going that way because it would not be good. He's the person who reminds us from time to time and who has stirred me to action, because all of us, we need to have, there needs to be something that the Lord can bring to mind to you from time to time that will cause you to re-examine yourself and say to yourself, where am I in God? It's like everything else we do. It's like a check that you do from time to time to see where you really are and where do you stand. Let us examine ourselves. And if we would judge ourselves, we would not need that others would judge us, as the Bible says. And for me, the thing that God brings from time to time is he reminds me, you need to be ready for my son to come, whether he comes today or whether he doesn't come for another 50 years after you're gone. You need to be ready. And this is therapy in action right now, because I'm looking at where things are. It is a lesson that we need to remember, because after we have done, and I teach like everyone else, and I encourage people like everyone else, Shonda needs a job now. So I need to preach and teach, and she needs to know that God is a provider of things in the earth, because Matthew, when Peter is talking to him and saying, Lord, what do we get? We forsake it all. He says, in this lifetime, you'll be blessed. And that gives him the list. So there are many blessings we need now. We need healing now. Elder Smith and Elder Rogers, Mother Ware and Elder Paulette, and all the people who need, and many of the people whose names I receive in messages from time to time. We need the Lord to heal us now, like Moses said about Miriam when she was struck with leprosy. He said, Lord, heal her now. And so we know we have that as well. So we need blessings in the earth. We need to be maintained and sustained, because as independent as we seem ourselves to be, whether we like to accept it or not, we are God's children, and we are like our own children. Have you considered if something, once we become adults, we're on our own, but when you have children who are not at working age or the age where they can provide for themselves, if something would happen to you, except someone else was merciful to them and took them in, they would die.
Yeah.
We need God in that regard, because as independent as you think that you are, without God, you would die. Even the sinners who are on the earth, without God sustaining their heart rate and their breath and providing things that are in the earth and all those things, without God, they would die. So we come to a point where we preach and teach to encourage you that God is sustaining you now. Now we are the children of God. Now we are the sons and daughters of God. Now the Lord is blessing us. And yes, we want to go to God for a blessing. And I watch all the worships where people say, reach out and get your blessing. I'm for all that. I agree. I am not against anything that encourages people to depend on God.
Yes.
In any way you can get people to say glory to God, glory to God. In any way you can get people to encourage them to really allow God to work for them, I'm for that. And every one of those sermons and every one of those lessons has its place. But ultimately, the ultimate objective of being in God is to have eternal life. And so when I was reading last week, we were studying in Corinthians, when the Apostle Paul had come to Corinth, and his point for coming there was because he had received word from some of the saints that were there that the church was in somewhat of a disarray because they were doing things that were, they were not continuing in the faith and doing the things they were supposed to do. They had a lot of things going on. Other people had come in from other places and encouraged and had perverted the word, called them not to believe, and just a whole lot. They had a lot of others come, and they even among themselves, they got to the point they were arguing among themselves of who they should follow and what they should do. And long story short, they needed him to come in and restore church order. And then when I was reading in Corinthians and I was reading and then in Ephesians and all those, I started to realize that in every one of Paul's letters, pretty much for the most part, at some point in time, he reminds them completely, as we always must be reminded. We can preach and teach all we want about we loving our neighbor, which is good, which is the right thing to do, being honest among one another, lie not. We can teach all those things. We can preach and teach about having spiritual gifts, which we need and which the church needs. The things that remind us that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, those things encourage us. But there's a bottom line reason why we need to know all these things. And the reason why we need to know all these things is because whether we live or whether we die, at some point in time, you're going to meet Jesus.
Yes.
Whether you are saved or you're unsaved, at some point in time, you're going to stand before Jesus.
Yeah.
You're going to see him face to face. And for those of us who are in the earth and who are saved, we are rushing to meet him because we know that when we see him, we will have eternal life with him. And everything that's wrong for us will be right.
Yes.
If you're unsaved, then I can understand that you don't want to believe in Jesus, don't want to see Jesus, don't want to hear about Jesus. Because when you meet him, unfortunately for you, you will meet him as a judge.
Yeah.
We will meet him as a savior.
As a savior, yeah.
So that being said, as I look at the times that are going on now and the things, and I'm not saying like people have predicted many times, the end of the world is near, the end of the world is near. Really, there's never going to be an end to the world. God is going to come and refurbish the earth, replenish the earth, renew the earth, but it's not going to end. So anybody you see with a sign saying the end of the world is near, it might be an end for them. They might be leaving the earth at this particular time, but the earth will never end. What is coming near is Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming. Jesus left the earth in Acts the first chapter, and the angels told them that just like he left, he was coming back. And the Apostle Paul, when he's doing all of his teaching in Corinthians and in Colossians and all those places, he keeps reminding the people, as does John in 1 John, and as does Peter. They keep reminding the people that Jesus is going to return. And on each occasion, they remind the people that Jesus is going to return not once, but twice.
Yes.
The first time that he returns, he is coming to gather together his church.
Yes.
The people who, through all the preaching and teaching through all the years since Abel on, people you read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, all the Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David and Rahab and all the people that you read of and all the saints in the New Testament and all the people that you have known who have died, saved people who died, and all of us who live and are in Christ, whose names are written in high, whose names on the Lamb's book, in the Lamb's book of life. The first time Christ comes, we make up what is Christ's church. We are the church,
yes,
or his body that he's the head of. And the first time that Christ comes to earth, he's coming to gather his church up and take them out of the earth. Because as we read in 2 Thessalonians the other night, the only reason that the earth is not in a period of lawlessness now, you might say that it seems to be in lawlessness, but the only reason why it is where there's not just anything goes, we have to consider, if there were no laws in the earth, God's laws or man's laws, oh, the things that people would do would be so much more heinous and horrendous than they are. Matter of fact, you have to consider yourself. If there was no law against it, God's law or man's law, there are some things that you would have done already.
That's right.
And the only thing that stopped you from doing them was because you didn't want to go to jail. I know in my life, the only thing that stopped me from doing some things was I didn't want to go to jail.
Yes.
God's law was not enough to stop me at the time. It was just that I didn't want to go to lunch. I didn't want to go to jail. I wasn't considering that God's law was worse off because then you'd end up in hell. But I was, because we live in the now, as we say.
Yeah.
And what keeps us from being like Sodom and Gomorrah, that God completely destroyed by fire at the same time? He didn't destroy it until Lot and his family were gone. And in the earth, he's not going to, the tribulation is not going to come until God has removed the church. So as I was saying earlier, Christ is coming twice. He's there. Two, you know, I don't know if you can see all of my board or not. I'll have to swing the camera around somewhat, and so that you can see the whole board. Let me see if I can do that. That might work to some degree. See how this works. And I'll bring the edge of it out so it's more square. But Christ is coming twice. Actually, three times, if you count that he's going to bring the city of New Jerusalem back with him, but at least twice Christ is coming. The first time he comes is in the rapture. And the rapture means, the rapture is when we're going to be caught up. Now, I'm spending a lot of spending time on this because this is what we're living for.
Yes, that's right.
Either you're going to be caught up in the rapture, as it says in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and Romans chapter 15, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, or you're going to be those saints that are in the resurrection. But either way, you're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. If you have died already, as it says in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, if this earthly body of this tabernacle be dissolved, it's talking about people who died who are in Christ.
Yes.
And it tells us in 1 Thessalonians, if they died in Christ, then will Christ bring with them?
Yes.
And I'm trying to look and see if you can see this board or not, and I don't believe that you can. I probably won't have to start writing on the whiteboard that's actually in Zoom itself. Maybe I should use a darker one, see if I see a black one. But Christ is coming twice. The first time is in the rapture. This is what we're waiting on. This is when he will come, not to earth, but we will meet him in the air. And we that are in Christ, the dead in Christ shall rise first. They'll meet Christ first. And then will he bring with them. And we that are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. And the scary portion of this, if it scares you, which is very good because it ought to, if you don't want to be someone for Christ to come and you not be among those who are caught up, because when Christ comes the first time in the rapture, then in between this comes the tribulation that a lot of people, the tribulation. This is when the church is gone and the Antichrist comes. A lot of preachers like to preach about it. Matter of fact, a lot of preachers are preparing their people for the tribulation. I'm not preparing you for the tribulation. I'm preparing you for the rapture.
Yeah, yes.
You should not be here during the tribulation.
Right, yeah.
You should go in the rapture.
Rapture, yes.
You should not be here when the Antichrist comes and when they talk about the sign of the beast and the mark of the beast and all those things. You should be gone.
Yes, yes.
You should be saved now so that you're not here during that time frame.
Yes.
Because when the church is raptured, then comes the wrath. Then comes the time of lawlessness. Then comes the time when the Antichrist comes, when earth just really, you think earth is bad now, it will really be bad. Then there's the second coming of Christ, which is the second advent. SEC. Let me use black. Maybe it'll show up a little bit better. I feel like the weather people. Try not to stand in front of the board. Which is the second advent. This takes place 7 years later, after the rapture. And then Christ returns to earth, and in the second advent, then he comes to clean up the earth. We come with him and we'll reign with him for 1,000 years, and he'll put down all rebellion and all everything. He'll do that. But we want to leave in the rapture. Now, when you read in Matthew, I think it is, in the New Testament, when Jesus talks about it, when this happens, don't come down off the roof to go into the house, and don't run and run hide in caves and do all those things. They're talking about the tribulation.
Yeah.
When you read in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, after you've read about the rapture in the 4th chapter, the 5th chapter where it talks about all the things that are going to happen, they're talking about the tribulation.
Yes.
And this is the part where he says in 2 Thessalonians, and we'll look at it real quickly. I'm trying to go forward from this, but I seem to keep staying right there because chapter 2. This is the part where he talks about in 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This is referring to the tribulation. This all talks about how when the Antichrist comes. This talks about the lawless time that's going to happen. You think things are bad now with all the racism and all the things that are going on in America? Wait until the tribulation. Mm-hmm. And it's going to really, really be bad. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to be here for that. Right. If you think you're having a hard time now, just wait. We want to be gone. Not only do you not want to be in the tribulation, we love life because God has given us life, but the reality is he's given us life so we're comfortable being here and so that we don't go out and do stupid things like mass suicides and all those things, which we would be capable of doing if we didn't love life like we do, and that it's because it's God given. But aside from that, you should really want eternal life.
Yes.
And want it to come as soon as it can. And we should love Jesus' appearing, as Paul says.
Yes.
Look at 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and verse 4. And it says, 5 and 4, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you. But ye are children of the light and children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not the ones what we're supposed to be doing at this time while we're waiting on the Lord. We're supposed to be watching.
Yes.
Watching what? The election. No. We're supposed to be watching our life. We're supposed to be watching what we're doing. We're supposed to be watching and making sure that we're ready for Jesus to return. We're supposed to be sober, it says, or we're supposed to be clear about this. We're not supposed to have to. We have to encourage people and build them up and things, but we shouldn't have to remind you every other week that you need to pray or you need to read your Bible. Well, you should be watching, and you should say to yourself, I haven't prayed today. I haven't read my Bible. Or I haven't been in church this week. Or, I haven't thought about God all day. Or the thoughts that are on my mind are the wrong thoughts. Or this and that and the other. We're supposed to watch and be sober. We're not supposed to be caught off guard so that we would become like those that sin has overtaken. Because we're not supposed to be the people. We're not supposed to be asleep. Awake thou that sleepeth.
Yeah.
The Bible says in another place. And this means that we're not fulfilling what we need to do in God. And we're not where we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to, if we find ourselves becoming lax and being in the house of God, or being we find ourselves doing a lot of other things that are not God. We're sleeping.
Yes.
Awake thou that sleepeth. Put on the whole armor of light.
Yeah.
Cast off the works of darkness. It says in another place. Because we're not supposed to be given to wrath. We're not supposed to be a part of the tribulation that comes and the things that come.
Yeah.
And the one point that I want to encourage people about, that I want to remind you of, those things, the tribulation can happen now.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody tell you that this has to happen before Jesus comes or that has to happen before Jesus comes. Everything that Jesus needs to have done in order to return, he has
already done. Yes.
This is why when the disciples, when he went up, Peter and all of them, they expected him to come back then. So why didn't he come back? Because God has a number.
Yeah.
In Revelation, the fourth chapter, God has a number. And in Revelation 7 and chapter 9. Revelation 7 and chapter 9.
Revelation 7 and chapter 9.
Verse 9. Revelation 7, verse 9. I'm sorry. Revelation 7, verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. This is when John is called up to heaven to see the end days. When John is called up to heaven to see the end, he's shown the people who are in God. He's shown the people that have been gathered together and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne of their faces, and worshiped God. And they kept going. This host of people that John sees are the people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're the people who are on the earth that are going to come out of the earth and be saved. Later on, he talks about the people who come out of the tribulation. And he also talks about the Jews that are caught up. But right now, he's talking about the people who are caught up in the rapture. I mean, all the people dead and alive who have caught up to meet Jesus in the air in the rapture. John sees them there. Now, the difficult thing to get to wrap your hands around is you have to realize when John sees the people in Revelation, he's not dreaming and he's not just seeing fuzzy faces. God is showing him Christ's church.
Yes.
And all the people of all nations, all tongues, all from around the world, all the people that will come out of the earth that will be that are going to be saved. John sees them, and one of the things, I guess 20, 30 years ago that I understood about this is you have to be one of those people that John sees.
Yes, right? Yeah, yes.
You see, these aren't blank spaces that can just be filled in at any time. This is like, and I've said it many times, but it's the only example I can give you. This is like watching the end of a football game and knowing the final score. And you can see and they can show you the winning touchdown or the scoring drive or whatever. And so you know the winning score and you know how it ended, but you can't do anything about it because what came about to bring the game to where it is has already been done.
Yes.
It is the same thing with the people that John sees in the rapture. By the time John sees them, because he's caught up to heaven, God is showing him there's going to be a number of people,
yes,
who are going to be saved and going to come out of the earth, and these are them.
Yes, yes.
Well, what he's showing John is the end time, and you have to be one of those people that John's looking at.
Yes. Right? Yes.
You have to make up your mind today and stay like this. I'm going to be one of those people that John's looking at.
Yes.
I'm going to end up in heaven. This can be you. This could be. No, these are the people who are actually there. You have to make up your mind. I'm one of them.
Yeah, yes.
So when we preach and teach about anything that we preach, if I'm preaching about being healed, it's to encourage you to know that Jesus is with the Father, and encourage you to stay in God and to stay saved. If I'm teaching about You need a financial blessing. You need a job. You need this. You need that. It is still to encourage you that God is on the throne and that you need God.
Yes, yes.
If you need a way made, if we're praying for somebody who's in prison that we want the Lord to deliver, it's so that when they come out, they know God is a deliverer. Everything that God does is to point you back to God and cause you to glorify God. This is why when Paul is preaching to the church in Corinth, he says to them very clearly when they're divided between some of them saying Paul is great and Apollos is great and Peter is great, he says, did any of us die for you?
Yeah.
Are you saved by any of us? Yeah. He says, what you need to do is get yourselves back to Jesus and back to God the Father and back to the Holy Ghost, because therein is your salvation.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you come down today and you say, well, I've got this battle I'm fighting in my mind. The answer is Jesus.
Yes.
And if you come down today and you say, I've got this sickness, they just told me that I've got stage 4 cancer, the answer is God.
Yes.
Or if you say, I really need the Lord to move me because I really need a job, the answer is God. He's the way maker. He provides for those who belong to him.
Yes.
Come ye out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord, and I'll be your father and you'll be my sons and daughters. Ultimately, the idea is to give you, his point is I'm your father, I take care of you all the way to give you everlasting life.
Yes.
And then he says to us, we're not supposed to worry about the tribulation. So we have all the preachers who like to get up and God bless them, they're preaching some about Jesus and they're getting people saved, so I thank God for them. But it doesn't end there.
Yeah.
It isn't enough to say to you, to spend all my time telling you how bad the earth is going to be. Yes, it's going to be bad, but I really need to spend time telling you how to avoid being here.
Yes, yes.
Colossians chapter 3. So in all the time that Paul is preaching and teaching, I wanted to, before you go to Colossians, I want you to go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. I think it's 6, in verse 6, I believe. That the verse that says, blessed and holy. Okay, Revelation 20 and verse 6. Revelation 20 and 6. And then we're going to Colossians 3. Revelation 20 and 6 says what? Somebody read. Everybody read.
Blessed and holy is he that
hath part in the first resurrection.
On the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ. And shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Now, Revelation 6 talks about the first, who's going up in the first resurrection. And some people say they're not resurrection morning, but the first resurrection.
Yes.
In the first resurrection. Who's going up in the first resurrection? The resurrection of the dead and the resurrection of all those who are in Christ. In the first resurrection, the first part of the resurrection, there will be 5 raptures.
Mm.
Rapture is meaning caught up. There'll be 5 times that the saints of God are brought up and changed from mortal to mortal and brought to heaven. There'll be 5 different occasions. 5 raptures in the first resurrection, on whom the second death hath no power. The second resurrection will be the resurrection of all the evil dead, the sinful dead, the sea gave up his dead, man gave up his dead. These people will go up to be judged for what they have done, and then they will be cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, where they shall be tormented forever and ever. And if you watch enough sci-fi movies and things, when we say that to you, that sounds like a fantasy, but it is not.
Yes.
It is a reality.
Yes.
Matter of fact, the lake of fire is so fantastic for us. I have a difficult time even wrapping my head around. How terrible it actually is.
Yes.
But that's okay, because I also have some difficulty imagining how great heaven is. I can contemplate eternal life to a certain degree, But then it kind of stops because we're so used to always looking for things to change and things to happen.
Yes.
I don't know what we are. We are, in fact, on earth afraid to be, to some degree. We use a word for it. We call it caution.
Yeah.
You're not worried, but you're always concerned. You lock your door, caution.
Yes.
You watch when you drive down the street, caution.
Yes.
You're careful about, you know, if you're a woman, you're careful about your purse. Most of them are. I see them in the comments there. They're overconfident. They're not used to living. I can tell they're not used to living in large cities because in a large city, nobody leaves their purse in the grocery basket.
No.
That just doesn't happen.
No.
You have a hard enough time hanging on to it when it's hanging on your arm.
Yes.
Caution. But while we're cautious, we don't understand what it's like not to have someone not like us.
Yeah.
You know, some people don't like us simply because we're black or we're this or this. You know, we don't know what it's like not to have anyone not like us.
Yeah.
We are aware of that. In heaven, no one will not like us. We don't know what it's like not to ever be in danger. There's no danger in heaven. No danger. Can you imagine? Difficult to imagine, isn't it? We've lived with danger all our life.
Yes.
We don't know what it's like to have that rest, enter into that rest.
Yeah.
Rest not only from labor, laborious tasks, but rest in our minds.
Yeah.
Have to have no concerns, and we don't know what that's like. Matter of fact, we are so unable to contemplate what that's like until we have allowed people who write books and novels and philosophers to tell us that if we were in heaven, we would be bored.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest lies
yes.
I've ever heard.
Yes.
I'm not going to be bored. You're never going to tell me anything about heaven that's going to come in any kind of way to make me ever want to say, I want to be on earth not one moment longer.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to do well while I'm on earth, but when it's time to go, it's time to go. I'm looking forward to it. So in the first resurrection, there are five raptures, or five times when people are caught up. The first rapture was Jesus and the saints that were in paradise. Paradise is a compartment of hell, or compartment in the earth, where all the Old Testament saints in their souls and spirits had to remain until Jesus was resurrected and he became the first fruits, or the first one who came out of the earth, who was changed from mortal to immortal.
Yes.
He was the first one glorified. When in his resurrection, when he receives his glorified body, he becomes the first one who is changed, who is a mortal person on earth, who now has a glorified body. Then after Christ has his glorified body, then all the saints that are in paradise, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, he led captivity captive. They were in the earth until that time, in paradise until that time, until Jesus had come and broke sin and death's power. You see, you really need Jesus.
Yes, we do.
You really need the resurrection. You really need God. You need him more than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And his breaking Satan and death's power also is what gives us an opportunity to be caught up and be raptured and be changed from mortal to immortal. Because when we are changed, when we are caught up and we're changed, as it says in 1 Thessalonians and as it says in 1 Corinthians, that means that sin and death will have no more hold on us. We will no longer be subject to it. Sickness and disease will be no more. The devil will not be able to have any claim on us anymore.
Yeah.
And so when Jesus is resurrected, he shows that God has power over death, which until then, Satan always thought that was the ultimate end.
Yeah.
Until then, Abraham and all those who lived, even though they lived godly, because the wages of sin is death, they still had to go into paradise.
Yes.
But when Jesus is resurrected from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the grave, he also, during the time that he's in the grave, in his soul, he preaches to the angels that are held captive in hell, And then when he comes out, he brings the saints from paradise with him.
Yeah.
And they see them go through the city. And when you read in Matthew, and it says, they saw them come out of the graves and go through the city, which is in Matthew. Oh, look at that very quickly. It's about Matthew chapter 28, 52. Yeah, Matthew 27 and 52. Matthew 27 and 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. This is one of the reasons why this was the first rapture in the first resurrection. When Jesus is resurrected, first resurrection, after his resurrection, many of the saints, they see many of them come out of the graves. They recognize them as they're on their way to heaven. And this is one of the reasons why I'm not so sure, doesn't matter today one way or the other, I'll take it however it comes. I'm not so sure that we're just going to vanish. I suspect that people are going to see us go up. It's going to take a huge lie to convince people that the rapture didn't occur. Of course, we've seen some huge lies in our time. So
there are many things
that people believe in my time right now. There are some of the things that people believe right now that I don't understand. How in the world could you believe that? How could anyone possibly convince you of that? Conspiracies, as they say. That will be a conspiracy. According to them, it will be a conspiracy. It will be God's conspiracy. And it will be true. So then, in the first rapture, five raptures in the first resurrection. Raptures meaning to be caught up, to be raptured, to be carried away. When Jesus comes, when things are really looking like they're going to get worse, it's going to be, and I keep using the example of like Sodom and Gomorrah, when it got to be to a certain point, God came down and he came to Abraham and he says, I've heard about how bad they're doing things in Sodom and Gomorrah. And I've come down now to see if it's as bad as they say it is, because if it's gotten that bad, I need to do something.
Yes.
And God has a time when he's going to decide that, as far as the earth is concerned, it is time for me now to do something about that.
Yes.
And before he can, before he does this, Abraham asks him, he says, okay, if you're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, are you going to destroy everyone? Are you going to destroy the people who belong to you, whose names are written on high, those people in whom the Holy Spirit dwells? Are you going to destroy them with the evil people? In other words, are you going to say to them, and this is something about God that's very much amazing. While God will not allow evil people to bring about the destruction of people that belong to him, it's not like saying that this was a good person, they just happened to be in there with all those evil people.
Mm-hmm.
God will not allow evil people to bring about the destruction of saints that are saved. At the same time, he allows the saints that are saved to bring about the preservation of people who are
evil. Yes.
He would allow 10 people in Sodom to cause the whole city to be spared in their wickedness and in their evil. And yet, because of the evil of the multitudes of people in Sodom and Gomorrah, he would not allow the saved people, even though they had no business being down there, he wouldn't say to them, well, you ought not just be there, just wipe out everybody. No, he gave them an opportunity to leave.
Yeah.
God gives you an opportunity not to be lost. He gives us, we're saved people. We have no business being here after the rapture. If we have ever been filled with the Holy Ghost, if we've ever been washed in the blood, if we've ever been forgiven, if we've ever had the Lord, could you turn on the light, please? I'm looking at myself in the dark. If we've ever been godly, now is not the time, and this is the reason why when Paul is speaking to the saints in Thessalonians, he's saying to them, not to sleep and to be awakened. Now is not the time to fall asleep.
Yeah.
In the garden, he's telling Peter and the disciples, now is not the time for you to go to sleep.
Yeah.
You need to be awake now.
Yeah.
This isn't a time, this is not a time to start saying, oh, well, you know, I guess I'm just going to, you know, I've been doing a whole lot, but I'm just going to cruise on it. This is not the time. Now is the time to really awaken. Really, when it's talking about watching me sober, it's not talking about watch the people in the earth. It's talking about be watching for God.
God, yes.
Watch yourself. Watch what you're doing.
Yes.
You know how we say it? Believe it or not, we use it in the right term. What do we say? Watch out now.
Yeah.
We're not telling you to look at anything particular. We're telling you to do what? Be careful.
Yes.
Watch out. Okay, be careful. And then when the Bible says this is time for you to, you know, when he says that we need to watch and be sober. Those that sleep, sleep in the dark. We're not, but we are children of the light, he says in that chapter.
Yes.
We have the light and the revelation of God. We're supposed to be keeping ourselves in the love of God. We're supposed to be sustaining ourselves. We're supposed to continue. And every little thing we do in God, every little thing we do, you know, everything I do in God doesn't make God more God. It helps me stay in God. My willingness to, the Bible app is on my phone, it brings a new memory verse up every day. And sometimes I got to a point where I said, it's just a memory verse, I'm not worried about it. Now, late, I've said, let me at least read this verse.
Yes, yes.
So I can say that at least I have read something of God. Let me,
yeah.
How long does it take me to read this verse? Why would I not read that? And then we start to see how much sin has influenced us so that, or at least me, so that I would not want to take time to read the one Bible verse that the YouVerse sends me, but I'll look up Facebook and be on that for 15, 20 minutes, half an hour.
Yeah.
This is the way we are, isn't it?
Yes.
Now we'll read everybody else's messages as soon as they send them.
Yeah.
Ding. Oh, I got a message. Let me see what this is. But the Bible verse, somehow, I don't really want to look at that. Aren't we something? So he's warning us, and he tells them in Thessalonians and all those, and telling me today, Jesus is coming, whether you like it or not.
Yes.
Hopefully you will love his appearance.
Yes.
And we need to get ourselves in order so that when he comes, we do go back with him.
Yes.
Now, the second resurrection is us. Second resurrection, us.
Second rapture.
I'm sorry. Second rapture is us, church. Jesus is church. Living and dead. All those who are alive and in Christ, and all those that when they died, they were in Christ. Those that died in Christ, those that sleep in Christ, as it says, those who died and they were saved, those who died and the Holy Ghost dwelled in them, them will Christ bring with him. We'll all be in the air. So shall we all meet in the air. And all of us who remain, those of us who are alive and remain, alive and remain, it says in 1 Corinthians 51, I think. Then we who are alive and remain one says we shall not all say we shall be changed. 1 Thessalonians says alive and remain. 1 Thessalonians. And you can turn to both of them. 1 Thessalonians and to 1 Corinthians chapter 51. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. This is when we're caught up. This is not the tribulation. It comes after. Then shall that wicked one come. Then shall that wicked one come. We need to read that in Revelation one more time. We read it the night. We want to be very clear on this. Because you're going to run into people who mean well, but there are a lot of people who don't believe in the rapture. And they believe in God, and they believe in the Holy Ghost. And if you say to them, we're going to be raptured, they'll say, well, I'm not so sure. I don't think we're going to escape everything. Hey, we haven't escaped everything. We've walked through the earth right now.
Yeah.
But we're going to escape that.
Yes.
I don't know why they want to do that.
Deceiver.
Revelations 4:1. After this, I looked and behold, the door was open in heaven. And the first verse which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. After he has spoken to the churches in the first three chapters of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3, and told them what they needed to do to get themselves in order and prepared them for Christ to come. Then he says to John, this is what you're going to see after, which includes seeing all these people in heaven in the seventh chapter who's the church that's been raptured out of the earth. And he talks about later on, when the tribulation saints are going to be raptured. That's about the 20th chapter, 19th chapter, I think it is, 20th chapter of Revelation, and so forth and so on. But the second rapture in the first resurrection is us.
Yeah.
We go.
Yes.
No later flight. There'll be no later flight.
Yeah.
You find out, we'll rapture whether we vanish or whether we slowly ascend into the air and you watch us go. If you're not rising when we start rising, there's no need of you jumping up.
Yeah.
You're not going.
Oh,
how disappointing must that be? I was in a service one time, a long time ago. Elder Smith was probably there. We were in Mannheim, and Elder Taylor was preaching. And he was preaching about the rapture, and he says, what will you do if the people start rising? One lady said, I'll grab, and I start rising. He said, I start rising. They said, I'll grab onto your feet.
And,
you
can't
know, he,
do
was,
that.
He says, well, you can do that. He said, but somewhere around about the stratosphere, I'd shake you off. And you would try.
Yes, people will try.
Now is the time. This is why when John writes in the third in First John in the third chapter, he says, now we are the sons of God. Now's the time for you to consider whether or not you'll go back with Jesus. Not later. Now, today, when you hear his voice, Elder Smith read the scripture this morning, harden not your heart. Now is the time when I need to search myself and see what things I need to be rid of, stop doing, consider, concern, pray and ask God. And if you have things in your life, some of the things in my life that the Lord would not have me have, I wasn't able to go free with him. I asked God to deliver me. The habits and things, I have some habits and things in life right now that I want God to deliver me from. I was praying yesterday and I was saying to the Lord, what do I need to do to be better? He says, you need to put in more time and more effort. More time and more effort. They that sleep in the nighttime is what the scripture says. They that sleep in the nighttime. Let me go back to that again. It's in it's in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. In the 4th chapter, we talked about being caught up. And then he talks about, after talking about us being caught up, then he talks about us, about what happens to the people who are not caught up. Verse 3. Well, I'll start at 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. I was reading something last night. I was reading some lessons we had a long time ago. And it was saying that the day of the Lord, which is referring to the tribulation, not to the rapture, comes as a thief in the night. And in another place it says, I think it's in one of the New Testaments where Jesus is preaching. He says, but it won't come upon you like a thief in the night.
Right.
And we've always said, because we're looking for it, but the truth of it is it won't come upon us as a thief in the night because we won't be here.
Right, yes.
And he says,
it's true.
But when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them and travail upon a woman with a child and they shall not escape. There's going to be a brief period after the rapture when the earth is going to seem to have peace like never before. And all the nations are going to be on one accord like never before. And it's going to seem to the people probably that the church was the problem all along. And it's going to cause this great falling away when people are going to say, we don't need God. And they're going to worship the beast or the Antichrist.
Yes.
They're going to go in that direction. And when they say peace and safety, then the bottom is going to drop out.
Yes.
And everything's going to really get bad. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. This is what we're supposed to be. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we walk in the light as He's in the light, we should have fellowship one with another. We must go day by day. I must daily, Jesus wrote in one place, He says we must daily take up our cross and follow Him.
Yes.
I have to remember, I know there are some people who have an easier time following the Lord than I do. I know that. There are some people who don't seem to have to pray as much. They seem to open their heart more or whatever. But buddy, I have to work at it. I do. And people can say what they want, but I do. I have to work at it. I have to remind myself daily who I belong to and that Jesus is coming. This is why I have an awareness for me of what I need to do to stay saved and be caught up. I'm very concerned. Yes. I do not want to be here when Jesus comes and goes back. I don't want to be here. I'm not willing to take a chance on it. What things in life are there that you're not willing to take a chance on?
Yes.
There must be some things that you're not willing to do. Right now, I'm not willing to travel because of COVID.
Yes.
I'm just not. You know, others can, you know, I see all these people dancing around, no man. Well, you know, it's this and that. You're listening to this person, that person, or whatever. It doesn't matter to me. If it's detrimental, I will be wrong on the side of safety.
Yes.
It doesn't matter to me about being in God. You ain't got to do all that. You ain't got to wait no time to church. I know that. But it's what I do.
Yes.
You know, I know that the Holy Ghost doesn't come because I have on a tie. I understand that.
Yes.
You know, I get it. But it's what I do. There's some sacrifice when you pick up your cross, you take up your cross for God. God deserves, when He says present your body a living sacrifice, I don't care who you are, there's some times and things you need to sacrifice for God.
Yes.
He needs to be first in your life about something. There's some things you need to do for God simply because He's God. Every now and then, you're supposed to turn down the other things that you would do. You know, He says to me, there's sometimes, you know, I allow you enough time as is.
Yes.
I dwell with you and you don't spend enough time in me already. This is what He says to me. And there's sometimes that some things that you have to make up your mind when you have a choice between being in God, so that's not a sin. We're not talking about sin. There are some things that are not sin that God is supposed to have the preeminence over. Actually, He's supposed to have preeminence over
everything.
And because of His grace and mercy, and because of our imperfection, He doesn't expect us to do all those things. He knows. It's like, it's like we do with our children. Yes, there are many things that they should know better than they don't do. And there are many things we tell them to do that they don't do. And we have to remind them and bring them to it. And sometimes we have to bring them to the point of a threat before they will do good.
Right.
And God is the same way with us. But we ought not have to be threatened all the time.
Yeah.
There should be a time when, like our children, when they do what we ask them to do, there should be a time when they do that so that we call it, we don't call it glory, we call it pride. Some things we like for them to do of their own accord that we want them to do to make us proud. We're so glad they did that. That makes us proud.
Yes.
And God, when we do the things that God would have us do, we give Him glory.
Yes.
God is glorified because we obey God. God is glorified because you're here today.
Yes.
God is glorified. You could be on the golf course. You could be mowing your lawn.
Yes.
I could be fixing my fence. You could be sleeping in bed. There are so many things you could be doing today, but because you choose to be a God instead of them, you are, in fact, glorifying God.
Yes, yes.
And we don't do that enough.
No, we don't.
We do not. We need to put on the armor of light. We are children of the light.
Right. Yes.
And yet, when we do pay our tithes, and when we do give offerings, and when we do come to Christian education, or we do come to church, then we think so highly of ourselves. We need to see ourselves as the young child who has just gone to use the pot for the first time, and they're just grinning and so happy about it.
Yeah.
It's such a big
deal. Yes.
And we just laugh with them and clap our hands.
Yes.
That's where we are.
Yes.
And God just laughs at us.
Yes.
And claps his hands.
Yes.
You got that.
Yeah.
You went to prayer.
Yes.
Oh, how this pleases God. You sang this morning. Oh, how this pleases God. You showed up today. Oh, how this pleases God. You could have done so many other things. Oh, how this pleases God. And yet, it's not a great thing by any stretch of the imagination. Big deal. You came to church today, and God is good enough. He says, okay, for all of us who showed up, every one of us, wherever we are, how do we do it? And every moment that we come in for prayer, what do? We think ourselves deep. I pray several times a day. But you were breathing all day.
Yeah.
And so forth and so on. This is where we are. It's where I am.
Yes.
What I do for God is such a small, insignificant thing compared to what God does for me.
Yes.
And so as we're going towards this time, you must not be caught in the tribulation. We must not. You must not be in a position, have a mindset. And that's why he says it is. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We're not watching. Instead of watching for the tribulation, we're watching for Jesus to come. And that watch means to keep watch. To watch over ourselves and our lives and what we're doing. Watch what we do.
Yeah.
Richard Smallwood has a song that I listen to sometimes. It's a very old song. It's called You Better Mind. And it comes from, I don't know if it's from old saying, the sanctified people, because I've heard him say it before, you better mind how you walk on the cross. You better mind.
Yeah.
You better mind how you walk on the cross. For everyone, and starting with me, you know, I better mind how I treat the cross and how I treat God and how I treat time, what I choose to do rather than God. I need to be very careful about how I choose things over God. And I'm not saying me meaning you. I'm saying me meaning me.
Yes.
Because I have to be caught up for myself. I can't take anybody with me.
That's right.
And I sure don't want everybody else to go up. And I don't want everybody else to go up. I don't want anybody else to go up and me not go.
Yeah, that's right. Don't want to be left here.
I don't want to know what I'll do. For they that sleep in the night. And they that are drunken in the night. But let us. Everybody see where I am in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5?
Yes.
Verse, 8, chapter 5, verse 8. But let us, say us, me.
Me, yes.
Who are of the day, be sober.
Yes.
Let's be clear about this. You want to argue about whether or not this little point in God is this, that, and the other. But be very clear about this. There is a time when Jesus is coming.
Yes, yes.
Don't fool yourself about that. I don't know if he's coming out. He's coming.
Yes, he is.
I sure hope it ain't today. Then you have a problem. If Jesus came back today, for all of us who are safe, every problem we have would be solved.
Yes,
for you. Sean wouldn't have to look for a job any longer. The mayors will be taken care of. This is another thing. You have children, and you're looking at how bad the world is getting. My God, I'll be 7 years old in February. My life doesn't have that much longer, but I am concerned about all those who still, the core still has life in front of her.
Yes.
If Jesus doesn't come, she's going to have to make it through. Better give her as much God as you can. That's all she'll have.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Education won't be enough. You're going to need a good education, but you're going to need God.
God, yes.
we're not going to be there to protect them and keep them. And no one wants to see their child abused. Not, you know, we're doing the caveat that you're a good parent. We're not talking about the goofy, perverted, whatever. No good parent wants their child abused in any way, misused.
Yes.
This is why the most heinous criminal there is, he goes out, he kills people, does all kinds of things, and when he goes to court, his mother will still be there weeping, hoping they'll let him off.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it's her child and she loves him.
Yes.
Never mind all the other people that he's destroyed. And everybody on the outside is saying, hey, put that rascal on the table. But that mother is saying, but that's my child, and I hate to see that happen to him.
Yes.
Well, if you hate to see those things happen to your child, put them in God.
Yes.
You're not going to be able to keep them all the time. The song says, put them in God's hands. These are the things that when he says, watch, these are the things we need to be aware of.
Yes.
But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to put on our protection, breastplate, faith. Talks about put on the whole armor of God. I've seen so many people preach about putting on the whole armor of God, and their whole sermon, though it might be basically correct, is about keeping you in the earth. The whole point of putting on the armor of God is so you survive until Jesus comes.
Yes.
It's the faith, and the bottom line, this breastplate of faith, if you stop having faith in God, say, well, I have faith in God, I believe in God, not if you're not giving him preeminence.
No.
If any time, we might do a lot of things, but when the Holy Ghost catches up with you and grabs you by the collar and says, you know what, you let this happen instead of being in God, you need to listen.
Yes.
When you know how children are doing things sometimes, and if they won't stop, and you say stop, you finally grab them by the arm. When the Holy Ghost grabs you by the arm and says to you, hey, you need to listen. Mm-hmm. And not shake him off and shrug him off and keep on going. Because we're waiting on Jesus to come. Now let me get back to these raptures. Five raptures in the first resurrection. First resurrection. All the saved people are gone in the first resurrection. Everybody who's going to be changed from mortal to mortal and have eternal life, first resurrection.
Yeah.
Jesus being in the first rapture, the first one caught up, when he goes up in Acts, leads captivity captive, all the saints out of paradise. Second rapture is us. Third rapture. 144 Jewish people. Fourth. Hang on a minute. Make sure I got this right. Let me look in here.
Yes, that's right.
The dates tells me which one is what. Is that right?
Page 75.
She says. Elizabeth says it's 175.
Well, if you've got a four-column Bible.
Hmm?
If you have a four-column Bible.
Okay. What is the reference to? It's in reference to first. If you look in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 23, you'll see the reference to it. 1 Corinthians 15 and 23, and it is reference. Where this listing of the raptures are. Where this listing. But in my Bible, in my text, it's on one, and the one I'm using this morning is 175, and it'll be a different page than the others. Five references in the first resurrection, you'll see at the bottom of the page. First one, Jesus Christ of many saints. Second one, after Christ is coming. And the third one, 144,000 Jews served in the first 3.5 years of the trib. Mm-hmm. The 3.5, 3.5, part of the tribulation. 144,000 Jewish believers are going to be saved in the first half. That remnant shall be saved. The fourth one would be the tribulation saints.
Yes.
Tribulation saints, the people who are saved during the tribulation.
Yes.
You see me go up, now you believe. You see us go up, now you believe. Now you start obeying God. Now you're filled with the Holy Ghost. But you're going through the tribulation now. I don't think I could make it. I feel about the tribulation like I feel about prison. I don't think I could make it.
Yeah.
I just be honest about it. Oh, I'll be able to help. Well, go ahead. I don't think I could make it.
Try.
So I'm going to do what if I can not to ever be there.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd make it through the tribulation. I know the Lord has to carry me kicking and screaming in prayer now. I don't think I'd make it through the tribulation. So I'm planning on not being a part of it. Mm. The fourth would be the tribulation, and the fifth and final rapture in the first resurrection will be the two witnesses, which would be Enoch and Elijah.
Yeah.
And they will come to earth at the end of the tribulation. They're going to preach. And then they're going to be stoned. They're going to lay in the street for 3 days. Then they're going to be resurrected. And then they're going to preach. And fire is going to come from their mouth. Either the power of the word of God, but a move of the Holy Spirit. And they will be raptured. And that will be the end of the first resurrection. The end of the first resurrection. By that time, everybody who's saved, got the Holy Ghost, born again, will be with Christ at the end when the tribulation saints go up. And these are the ones that are later on, you about the 19th chapter of Revelation, read about them. About everybody who's going to be saved is going to be with Christ. And they will be, there will be no one else in the earth who's going to be saved. All those people would have made up their minds about what they're going to do. Then Christ will come in the second advent and stop all the things that are going on, and we'll reign with him for 1,000 years. And then after that, the devil will be loosed, and he'll raise up again for a short period of time, and then the battle of Armageddon will come and last one day, and God will be all in all, and the earth will be totally delivered, and we'll live forever with God and so forth. Yes. And the universe will be like it was supposed to be before Lucifer fell.
Yes.
It will go back to a time before Lucifer fell, and things will be in order as God would have them to be, not only on earth, but in the universe.
Yes.
Colossians 3. I keep looking at this clock like it's moving. We need a new clock. My clock isn't working. I'm almost done for today. Colossians 3. So I started off this morning talking about how the Apostle Paul keeps bringing them back to this. In Philippians, he says to them in 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working word, how he is able to subdue all things to himself. He reminds them in Philippians and in Colossians in chapter 3. He also says to them, if ye then be risen with Christ, and he goes into this, because in each one of these books that he writes, he tells them why they're living safe. Why are you living safe? Why are you living safe? Not just so that you'll have a good job in life and earth, but really why the reason why you're living safe is so is because of eternal life, because Christ is coming back, because you belong to him.
Yes.
Paul writes in another place, he says that God is so great, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it been revealed in the heart of men, all the things that God has in store for us. We just don't know how great eternal life is. We don't have anything that even resembles
it. Right.
It certainly is the money, because billionaires and all those people, and maybe it's only people who have the Holy Ghost, but when you look at billionaires, I don't know a billionaire whose life I would want.
Yeah.
Some of his money would be nice, but I wouldn't want his life.
Right, yes.
Give me an example. If I was a billionaire, and I can say this because I'm not, I think life on earth would lose its meaning.
Yeah.
Because you get like Solomon. Mm-hmm. Solomon realized he was the richest man on earth at the time, and he had everything and had done everything. And Solomon said that really everything is vanity. In other words, there's nothing on earth. Everything's useless.
Yes.
Consider anything you want. It doesn't matter if it's as simple as a piece of cake or whatever. Whatever you like. Something you really like. Everything you like in the earth, if you have as much of it as you want, sooner or later you get tired of it.
Yep, that's right.
I used to, and if you've heard me use this example before, then forgive me, but it's one of the serious ones I know. I used to love going to music shops. I used to love looking at basses online and imagining having them. And I used to order a bass magazine and do all these things, and I really loved that. Well, part of that waned because of age, that is true. But after I bought my first Tobias bass, which most music stores don't even carry because they cost so much, you have to have made. And when I got my Olympic, same thing, they're custom made. When I got them, I lost interest in going to music stores anymore because there's no bass. You're not going unless I'm in like. And D.C., where I bought my basses from, you know, where they have the basses that cost more than mine or whatever, or some of these great big huge centers. But most music stores are not going to carry anything like that. So I lost my interest in even going into them. It was boring because I already had more than what they had. I imagine it's that way when you're a billionaire. And this is why you keep looking for strange things to do. Mm-hmm. Now you want to climb Mount Everest.
Yes.
And you want to explore to the bottom of the sea. Now we're looking at the SpaceX program by whatever his name is.
Yes.
Who's trying to build spaceships to take them into space. And I don't have a problem with that. Your money, you want to go into space, fine, as long as not tax dollars that you're spending. And y'all want to do that, go ahead. I'm not crazy about being at 40,000 feet. I'm glad when I get to the ground. So, you know, if you now need to go explore the moon, go ahead.
Yes.
But my point being is, and I'm not saying that's evil. Fine, go ahead. But my point being is when you have that much money, your money is worthless unless you can do something with it.
Yes.
When you get to billionaire, you know, you'll be like this one person who's the richest person in America. This is worth in the world. I think he's worth $156 billion. $156 billion. If you have $8 billion, you have more money than you'll spend in your lifetime. And I mean, and you can do wild and ludicrous things and still not spend all of it. So now you've got to a point where your money, you got it, but what can you do with it? You're like Solomon. You've been everywhere. You've done everything. You're on your own jet, so there's no place that's out of reach for you. You can, there's nothing you can't own. You don't need medical insurance because you have one. You can have your own personal doctor and build your own hospital if you like.
That's right.
And
if you
do whatever. So what's left? Where is it? And if you don't have God, there's nothing left for you because everything in the earth is at your disposal.
Right. That's right.
So I'd rather be as to be poor. I'm not so sure.
Nope.
I think I just like to have the life that God has given me. I don't need to be poor. So when we talk about heaven and going there, most of us, we only have a very small imagination of what it's like to actually have a life without want.
Yes.
Colossians, and I am finishing on this one. Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. This is the first thing he says to the saints in Colossae, not seek those things on earth, but if you believe in the resurrection and you're in Christ, seek the things that are above. This is what you really need. This is what you really want. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hidden with God and hidden with Christ in God. This is the point that I want to leave with you this morning as I'm finishing up. If you are indeed saved, yes, risen with Christ,
yes,
born again, new creature, everybody who's saved, hey, get your affections on things above.
Yes.
Start loving God. Start wanting to be in heaven. Start wanting to be where the Lord is. Start,
yes,
wanting the things that God has. Stop being so ingrained in the earth.
Yes.
We're enmeshed in the earth. We love the earth.
Yes.
I'm not saying don't love it, but God, you know, we're just overwhelmed. We'll jump through hoops for things on the earth, but we won't kneel and pray to God where we are.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm no different than the rest of you. I don't make myself the super saint that's above all. If I'm doing better, it's because God has said this to me, and I've kind of gone along, and I've gone along with it. It's not because I'm superior in any way in God. All the same in God. It's a lesson that we've learned.
Yes.
But it's a point in God. If you are in the Lord, then set your affections. Look and see what it is that you really like and love, and see if God is above all that. What really gets your attention? What thing is there that you're going to do no matter what? What if I got to go to work?
Yeah.
You don't work, you don't eat unless you're old like us and you're retired. That's a done deal.
Yeah.
But what other things are there in life that are discretionary? You know, money that's not for rent and money that's not for notes and cars and food and all that. We call that discretionary,
yes,
income. You can do what you want with it.
Yes.
You have discretionary time. What other things are there in life that you choose what you will do, and it's not necessarily to do with one or the other? These are the things where you need to consider yourself, and how many of these things have you chosen to put God in front of?
Yeah.
You know, go to church this morning, go to the beach. You can choose. It's up to you. Because in verse 4, when Christ was our life, is Christ your life?
Yes.
Is Christ your life? Ask yourself, yes, is Christ really your life?
Yes.
Or is he just someone that you have in your life?
Yes.
Christ is in my life, or is Christ your life?
Yes.
If you feel like I do, that the worst thing would happen to you in life with Mr. Rapture,
mm-hmm,
there's,
yes,
nothing worse in my life,
yes,
than missing the rapture.
There
is nothing.
Yes.
There is no catastrophe, no disaster, no tragic event in my life worse than living up, than missing the rapture. You say, well, you could die.
Mm-hmm.
Missing the rapture is worse.
Yes, true. Yes.
Because if I died, I'd go directly to heaven.
Yes, right.
If I died, I wouldn't worry about the tribulation.
Yes, right.
If I died, I wouldn't have to worry about anything else in the earth. I'd go directly to heaven. The worst thing that could possibly happen in my life is to be alive and miss the rapture.
Yes.
I can think of nothing worse than not going back with Jesus when he comes. So you and here again, you say, well, I can die. If you die and you're in Christ, you're going to heaven
anyway.
Then,
yes, yes,
what would be worse than Christ coming and you not being someone that goes back with him?
Yes.
Nothing I know of. Because then you know of assurance you're lost,
yes,
unless you find some way of salvation.
Yes.
I mean, well, you know, you can find out you got cancer. That's not worse than missing the rapture.
No, there's nothing.
That's not worse than missing the rapture. One of your children could die. That's not worse than missing the rapture. That'd be tragic. That'd be sad. That'd hurt me some more. But that would be worse and missing the rapture.
Yes.
There is nothing worse than that, than to be alive and not go back with Jesus when he comes.
Amen.
So he says, when Christ, who is your life? Now, this is the way you feel if Christ is your life.
Yes.
And if you don't feel that way about it, then he very well might not be your life. He might be someone that you want in your life and might be to some degree, but and I'm not saying you're not saved, but he's not where he needs to be. Because when Christ moves our life, because remember in verse 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Everybody who's resurrected in him, we died with him.
Yes.
I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives. We died with him. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You're not going to be caught up unless Christ is your life. We need to take a good look and see, is Christ my life? Hey, you know, where exactly am I? You know, take a good look at your Holy Ghost meter and see, where am I in God? And how likely am I to go up with Christ? And we need this. We need to know of assurance. And what would it be like if I was not?
Yeah.
To the end of, I'll stop there this morning. Everything, every book, you go check them yourself. Practically in every book that Paul writes to all the different churches in the New Testament, he makes sure at some point in time, in one way or another, he lets them know that they have to have eternal life.
Yes.
He lets them know that they've got to be waiting on the Lord. What things are important to you? What has preeminence over God? Where do we stand in God? Where are we? What's on our minds? Point, Elevie. Just one.
So important. That I want to be caught up in the first. I want to go back with Jesus when he comes for the saints in the first rapture. I don't want to miss the rapture.
Yeah. Okay, I'll let you get away with that. John's going to give me a quarter. Point, Ellis.
That watching means also watching what you're doing. What are you doing for God and maintaining all the things that God's called you to do? You have to be mindful and have a sober mind.
Yes.
That you can always maintain this cause of that because I have been risen with Christ. That I'm watching for. I'm watching for him, but I'm also watching for my soul as well.
Bring them up too. Yeah, to watch means to be aware.
Yes.
When Jesus says watch, he doesn't mean just get up and just look around. It means to be aware. Watch what you do.
Yes, yes.
Watch, you know, watch what you be aware of where you are in God and how you stand in God and what's going on with you in God. You're watching. You know, watching and praying. You watch with me. I'm praying and I'm looking to see if this is working. Am I okay with, you know, when Jesus comes, am I going back with him?
Yes, yes.
They can all sit right there. Watch and pray. See if you
right
are really, you know, in the Lord. Point, Sister Gamble, point. No, you can say what she said. That's fine. That's the point you got.
And also, it's where you literally have to work out your own foundation.
You do.
And you just have to plan around. Like, not to just talk about it and put it on everyone else. Like, that's something they need to do. It's something that you really
need to do. That I need to do. Yeah.
Yes.
Just really time out. You just got to get it together.
Point to go up. Absolutely. That stands out to me too. We all want to be caught up in the rapture so that we're not here during the tribulation. That we do not want to be. If you think things are bad now, it's not even a comparison. But even so, you also want the goodness and grace of God to continue that we have now. We live well. As bad as things are, and they might seem to be, it could be worse. And the tribulation will be worse. Who I have on Zoom that has a point? Let me see your hand. Or you could just open up your mic. Point anyone. I'll ask India. India, point.
I knew you were going to call me.
Yeah, of course I am. You're my favorite woman child. Go ahead.
That nothing would be more disastrous than to miss the rapture in my life at this moment.
in my life at any time. Nothing would be more disastrous than to miss the rapture. Who else do I have out there? Let me call on Sonia Wane.
What?
I was calling on Sonia Wane, but I got Ella Jenkins. Ella Jenkins, what's your point from this morning?
My point is that I'm just so anticipating and waiting on the rapture. My every day of my life is making sure I'm ready at all times.
Okay. Who else is out there? Let me see. Is that enough? All right. Everybody standing. He's coming back.